Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to the final 2017 edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds, longtime publisher of PewterReport.com.
Happy
and of
New
course,
Year!
The rookie, who is no longer a rookie, he's
made one official year
officially, the man bun himself. We're going to be real serious in this podcast, guys, because a couple people didn't like us joking around last week. So no Def Leppard stories.
Damn it.
No half-shirt, t-shirt stories.
I've got a really good Motley Crue story.
Yeah, not going to be able to do that, Scott. We're going to have to just play it straight. 45 straight minutes and nothing but Bucks, X's, and O's.
Damn it.
I've never seen you laugh that hard in my life last week for that story.
It's a top 10 laugh fest for me. And actually, when I went back
you
and listened
crying.
To it later.
Yeah, no, you literally had tears.
When I listened to it again, I laughed. I don't ever go back and listen to the podcast because I hate the way I sound. And I was laughing almost just as hard.
It was like a laughing weep is what it was.
Yes.
You're laughing and weeping at the same time.
It was a bundle of a year's worth of emotions spilling out in one Def Leppard story.
Speaking of, the last throw of the game.
Did not see that coming, guys. Let me just tell you, I did not see that coming.
That was the most non-Bucks way to end a football game.
In a long time, that's for sure. I mean, this team was backed up 4th and 10 from their own 5-yard line. And I'm texting people saying, okay, go ahead and meet me after this play so we can get down to the locker room. And no, the drive kept going a little bit longer. And Jameis Winston, Dirt Cutter, talked about it. Jameis talked about it on a play that really wasn't designed to go to Chris Godwin. But Jameis said, I was just playing the matchups and I saw a one-on-one opportunity. And guys, when we talk about Jameis Winston and we beat him up about his gunslinger mentality, and his competitive nature that gets him in trouble sometimes, 3 interceptions today, those are the things you kind of got to live with if you want a guy like that.
The dude keeps firing. He keeps firing, man. He will keep firing the gun until there's no bullets left.
And go for the win. Go for the jugular. He's not worrying about, you know, trying to leave it up to Pat Murray to put all the pressure on him.
No, score.
Score. I
score
agree.
The touchdown.
I agree.
It's not about getting in field goal range. I don't care.
Wait, you know, hold on. Here's the crazy thing. If Chris Godwin gets tackled at the 5-yard line,
game
over.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
That's the crazy thing.
If Chris Godwin, who was playing on a very sprained ankle tonight and hurt it a couple times in a couple of opportunities, if he gets tackled at the 5-yard line, there's no way with 15 seconds left, and by that time there's probably seven seconds left, that he is running down there and spiking the ball,
man,
getting all those guys.
That cornerback was one tackle away from the Bucks picking 5th overall this year.
That's right. And where did they pick now?
They picked 7th. Now they pick 7th. I thought it was going to be worse. But because of how the games came out today, the Bears' strength of schedule made them flip. And a lot of people are asking, why do the Bucks pick before the Bears when the Bucks beat the Bears this year? Head-to-head has nothing to do with it.
That's right.
It goes to strength of schedule first, and that is often... that is often all you need. It doesn't normally go to a tie.
It's really three things. It's record, strength of schedule, and then a coin flip.
No, it actually is. I think it's record, strength of schedule, and then how you did in your division, how you did in your conference, then a coin flip.
It goes further than that. Okay.
Yeah, so it goes a lot further than that. That's why a couple years ago when the two teams, I can't even remember who it was doing the coin flip, everybody was like, wow, we've never had to do this before. We have so many tiebreakers in front of it. But anyways, Bucks picking 7th. And
Speaking of 7, Chris Godwin had 7 catches, 111 yards. Good to see him finally get a 100-yard performance under his belt his rookie season with a 39-yard touchdown to cap it off. That's his first touchdown. And as Adam Humphries so eloquently put it after the game, he says, Chris Godwin, myself, and Leonard Wester all tied with 1 touchdown catch for the year.
Yep.
Leonard
Wester.
Astute
observation there.
No, it's good.
By Adam Humphries.
Yeah, and also, of course, my good friend Bobo Wilson. With one.
Your good friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're good friends.
Because he went to Florida State.
Of course.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he and Jameis and Javian.
And Freddie Stevenson.
And Freddie Stevenson.
Yeah.
Wait, Freddie's not on this team.
Right, I know.
But he might be.
He tried out last week.
That's true. Garrison Sanborn, another former Knoll.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
How many Gators are on this team?
Hargraves.
No, I meant on the team.
Oh,
wow.
Not like
Jeez.
Just name on a roster.
Well, you can't count Freddie Stevenson.
You mean who actually play and contribute?
True.
Play
yeah, exactly.
Contribute is what you're talking about?
Hargraves made tackles. It counts.
Guys, I think, you know, we could talk about Jameis in that last drive. This defense, which has been the Achilles heel of this team, I think, for much of the year, certainly has cost this team games. They came up really, really big because, Scott, you and
really
I...
Really 2 weeks in a row.
When there was, 5 minutes left after the Buccaneers kicked the field goal, made it 24-23, Trevor, being the rookie who hasn't seen this team as much as I, is like, well, they'll get the ball back. And you and I both said, yeah, I wouldn't bet on that.
Right.
4 minutes is just a long time.
Well, they had just went on a six-minute, 95-yard drive.
I know, but that's different. Like, if you're not even looking at the clock, it's different to go on a super long drive. When you're looking at the clock and you go, if we run this out for these 4 minutes, we can win the game. Normally, you psych yourself out, and it doesn't happen because you start calling plays. Like,
well, the Buccaneers' defense had 15 minutes to go in overtime in Green Bay and just watched them march all the way down the field.
True,
so I didn't have a lot of confidence they were going to stop
them. I didn't either, especially last week, because by and large, they played really well against Carolina. They held Carolina around 250 yards for the second week in a row, and I think this is damning for Nate Kazor, the special teams coordinator.
Katzer. It's spelled really crazy, but
yeah, looks like Kazor, but we'll call him Katzer. 106-yard kickoff return for touchdowns by Bird last week, Kamara this week.
Yeah,
that does not bode well, especially when this team has also had two blocked
punts,
one of which was returned for a touchdown.
The other one in Green Bay led to another score by Green Bay as the Buccaneers were.
Yeah, so when you look at those plays, doesn't bode very well for special teams, but defensively. Yes, the defense allowed Carolina to score that touchdown at the end of the game last week, but by and large did a pretty good job defending the Panthers, and also by and large did a great job against Alvin Kamara in terms of running the ball, only 44 yards on 9 carries. Mark Ingram held in check 35 yards on 13 carries, held the Saints under 100 yards rushing, 3.5 yards per carry, 92 yards, only one touchdown, that was Kamara's. Did Mike Smith's defense do enough over the last two games to erase some awful,
awful
defensive play calling and defensive performances this year? Is Mike Smith safe now, or do you have to look at the season as a whole, not just how you finish, but the totality of it, and say, not a good enough job by this defense?
I think Mike Smith, in order to save his job, is going to do some things that we thought Dirk Cutter might have to do to save his job, and that's to make some staff changes.
I thought you were going to give up the play calling.
Well, I mean,
if that's the case, what's his role in the team?
Look, if it wouldn't hurt my feelings if Mike Smith moved upstairs to some executive role and Mark Duffner took over the play calling and design of his defense.
Does he deserve that?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, I don't know. The same thing Butch Davis was here for. I mean, you can give anybody a title. They've got this guy under contract. They're going to pay him anyway.
Defensive consultant.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's under contract. They signed him to that deal last year in the offseason, which we all thought was the biggest acquisition in the free agent market that the Bucs made, retaining Mike Smith. You know, I think Mike Smith is a victim of some stubbornness in the fact that he employs Jay Hayes. Who I think is
I think Jay Hayes will fall on the sword this year.
He has to. Yeah. I mean, if Mike Smith is going to stay, I don't think there's any way they can go into next year with every person intact. Now, real quick on Katzer, and I brought this up, you know, after that kickoff return. You know, I'm not making an excuse for Nate, because been some other issues with this team going all the way back to Roberto Aguayo and things like that. But I mean, special teams is hit as hard as anything by injuries, because it's the backup guys who are your special teams guys. And then all of a sudden you have a rash of injuries, 10 or 11 guys placed on injured reserve, several starters. Now all of a sudden you're bringing up guys from the practice squad who now all of a sudden are being counted on to play on special teams. Now, to make this clear, you should never, ever give up a kickoff return for a touchdown, ever.
In back-to-back games?
And that's just unheard of. And to have two punts blocked in the same season, as bad as this franchise has been in its 41 or 42 years, however long it's been now, I don't ever remember a season in which they gave up two kickoff returns. Maybe you have to go back to 76, 77, around there, but where they gave up that plus two blocked punts in the same season, too.
Yeah, one of which went for a touchdown against the Saints the first go around. Josh Robinson tilted the scales a little bit. Nice strip down there. Isaiah Johnson with the scoop and score on that punt return. The punt coverage unit, and I wrote about this in the two-point conversion, the punt coverage unit has really been the only saving grace this year.
Yeah.
They've allowed 6.2 yards per punt return. They've not allowed a punt return touchdown. And of course, they scored, and that was a big touchdown tonight in what ended up being a one-score game in the victory over the Saints. That was a huge play. But I don't think that's enough to save his job. I think they've really got to overhaul they got to make some changes in this coaching staff. You can't bring everybody back
right.
and say, oh, well, we're just going to get healthy next year and expect the same results.
Status quo is not going to work with this fan base. And you know, I was talking about the fan
Monty
base.
Kiffin told me when I was talking
Monty to Monty never told you anything, hey, Uncle Stan. No, you never you, talked to Uncle You me, never talked to him. Trevor, take
year.
Uncle Stan
Let
out back,
talk.
Please.
Hey, no, Monty Kiffin told
put the gag back
either,
in his mouth.
You're either going to get better or you're going to get worse. And that's exactly why they need to make some changes on this staff. I'm not banned to come to these games anymore.
Now,
Uncle Stan, pipe down.
Nate Katzer may be gone. Mike Smith could be gone. The one person who's going to be back is Dirk Cutter. And, yep. You know, Dirk confirmed that on a radio show on Friday night. Rick Straub was the first to report it. And, you know, Scott, you wrote an article today about what happened to the Gruden situation. Because there was a lot of, you know, we joke about, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, or whatever the old saying is. It wasn't just smoke. I mean, it was a blazing inferno.
Yeah, it really was.
And you have been on top of this literally since last June, towards the end of June, when
July.
You and Trevor. Yes, end of July, when you and Trevor met with John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did a lot of homework on your own, even going into the last week of things. You also found out some information, even before Rick, that, you know, Dirk may not be gone.
Yeah.
Just talk a little bit about some of the background on what happened here. And kind of recap your article for those who maybe haven't read all of it yet.
Well, I think the biggest takeaway was, you know, I had some information come to me right before finishing the SR's Fab Five, and it really kind of changed things. That was a bit of a game changer in that what was going to happen is you were either going to have John Gruden come and become the next head coach of the Buccaneers, or Dirk Cutter would stay. That they were not going to just fire Dirk Cutter because this team was going to finish 5-11 or 4-12, what it boiled down to was who's out there that we believe would be a better fit for this team and give us a better chance for success in 2018. And when things were not looking good with John Gruden in terms of the discussions, and trust me, there were discussions between members of this organization and Gruden's camp about him coming to coach the Tampa Bay Buccaneers once again. Would not have written half the things that we ended up writing on PewterReport.com if that wasn't the case. So, and I think Mike Silver even said that. Listen, Ian Rappaport's been reporting this. There was some serious interest on both sides, and it didn't happen. And this is not the first time this hasn't happened in Tampa Bay. You can go back to the Glazers fired Tony Dungy to get Bill Parcells. Mm-hmm. And Bill Parcells was almost the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He even told the Glazers to hire Bill Muir, who was going to be the offensive line coach here in Tampa under Parcells. He was with the Jets organization like Parcells was. And Mike Tannenbaum looked at the Bucs salary cap right before giving the green light to Bill Parcells and said, wow, Bill, you literally have a year or two to win the Super Bowl with this team. Because they have got so many aging veterans.
Right. Owed a lot of money.
Owed a lot of money that you're going to have to start getting rid of some of these Pro Bowl guys. And they're going to get old. And you have a short window of time. Parcells says 2 years is not enough of a window. And guess what? John Gruden found that out too. They won the Super Bowl the first year. And in 2003, underachieved for sure. But at the same time, finished 7-9,
right.
And then that window closed. So it was that. And then you had Chip Kelly, who was going to replace Raheem Morris.
Right.
I mean, I remember getting a call from Mark Domenic at the Senior Bowl at 2 o'clock in the morning. Saying,
we were staying at the Baymont Inn,
right
across the street from Hooters.
We're gonna hire Chip Kelly.
And Scott woke me up at 3 a.m.
Yep.
Get your computer open.
Did a story.
Yep.
And then a couple hours later, Chip decided, nope, not coming to Tampa.
Mark texted you and said, yeah, you want to probably delete that story.
Yeah. So that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think there was sincere interest on both sides. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And that's what I wrote, you know, at 9:15, I published it. And you know, Rick obviously broke the news at 4 o'clock later that day. But 6-7 hours earlier, we pretty much said, you know what, there is a pretty good chance that Dirk Cutter is going to be seeing year three in Tampa Bay as the head coach.
I mean, but Scott, you know who else thought that Dirk Cutter might not be here?
Dirk Cutter.
Jameis said it tonight in his post game news conference when he said Dirk Cutter said
after the Carolina game,
you know, no matter who's here coaching next year, whether it's me or somebody else, I mean that's not the sound of a guy who thought he was coming back.
Well, and he also was humble tonight and was thankful to the Blazers for giving him another opportunity despite a 5-11 season, and you know, I think that was the right tone. Because he is lucky. If you go back and look at the history of the Blazers in this franchise, they have expected results, positive results in year two.
Right.
Right. Tony Dungy comes in 1997, year two, and wins a playoff game at home, 10-6. And then in John
first
Gruden's
playoff
first
playoff win since 1982.
13 years.
Yeah.
Then in John Gruden's first year, he wins the Super Bowl. In Raheem Morris' second year, they're a win away from the playoffs with 10-6, right? And so every other coach since then, Schiano, Smith, both of those guys didn't win enough games in year two, and they were fired. Mm-hmm. And it looked like that might happen again this year. You know, Cutter flipped it. He had a 9-7 season to start with, and then when you look at what happened with regards to the second year, you know, boom, that was not what anybody saw coming. This was a playoff expectation type season for the Buccaneers, you know, at 10-6 is what we predicted, and it ended up being 5-11.
You know, do the rumors prove to be true, and we'll find out probably a little bit more, especially if John Gruden ends up with the Raiders. Talking about demanding 10 years at $10 million
right. That's
guaranteed.
The thing. I mean, like, if that's anywhere near the ballpark of what is the reality of what's going on, there's no way that was ever going to happen in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And it should not.
No, it shouldn't have.
The Raiders, right after the game today, fired Jack Del Rio.
Yes.
And they went 12-4 last year. They're firing him
to hire John Gruden.
They have to be hiring John Gruden. Or they have to at least think that they're hiring John Gruden.
Yeah.
Because. And that makes me, because I read the report that's, and you and I kind of knew a little bit behind the scenes that Gruden was going to ask for a king's ransom.
Yes,
and like
was.
That's just the way that it was going to be. We've known that there have been situations in the past where he has had interest to come back to coaching, but, you know, either, whatever the timing's right, whatever you want to call it. But teams have reached out to Gruden. This is not the first time that teams have been reaching out to Gruden. This has happened for...
Indianapolis Colts last year.
I mean, this has happened for years now. And every single time John gets interest from a team, every year, price goes up.
That's
every
right.
time. Every single time. Because then you have more leverage. So this could have been a move by the Buccaneers to, you know, leak everything about Dirk Cutter getting a third year to possibly just maybe get some leverage back against Gruden. We're kind of figuring out that that's not the case. That they're going to stick with the decision that they made. But on the flip side, if this Raiders report is true, that they're seriously considering giving him that many years, that much money, and like part ownership or whatever they were talking, that's never, ever going to happen here.
Yeah,
and it shouldn't. If Gruden,
you're right.
If Gruden get, and you and I mean, you know Gruden a lot better than I do now, but just from the things that I've learned about him over, you know, the 6-7 months, even beyond him being his coach, if he gets partial ownership of a team, he's never getting fired.
I know.
Ever.
Well,
ever.
And here's the other thing. If you look at his last two stops.
Can you do that as a coach?
Well.
Imagine your coach going, just because it's a down year. It happens. Franchises, it happens. Imagine going 4-12, 5-11, and going, well, we can never fire John Gruden. So we better just hope it gets better.
Yeah.
And that's what the Raiders sound like.
If you look at the last two stops that John Gruden has had, right? He was traded from Oakland because they didn't want to pay him money.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't leave on his own terms. He wasn't a free agent coach that got a better job somewhere else. He was traded in the middle of the night. And he wanted to stay with the Raiders. He wanted to get the pay raise from Al Davis and remain with the Raiders. He was building a Super Bowl team. Then he comes to the Buccaneers. And then it's one of those situations where, you know, he comes here and he signs a 5-year contract extension. And he gets fired. You know, he ended up getting fired after a 9-7 season. And I think for John, it was a bit of a shock to the system both times. And he's like, you know what? I want this to be on my terms.
Yeah.
I want a 10-year guaranteed contract. And we'll see what the final numbers end up being in Oakland if he ends up taking that job. But trust me, when you invest, if you invest 10 years $10 million guaranteed to a coach?
It doesn't. It doesn't work.
You're in
like
it
that.
For the long haul.
It doesn't work like that, though. It shouldn't work like that. At some point, a team should step in and be like, "No, we're not giving you that."
But why though? Why is Trevor? Because the Buccaneers paid Gerald McCoy $98 million for 6 years, and back before, and that was after giving him what, $30-something million
for his
initial
rookie
deal. I mean. To say a coach is not as I say a coach can be more valuable than a defensive tackle.
I think a coach is worth it, but
all right. Well, here's one thing to consider too.
That's not how people don't last 10 years. It just doesn't.
No, I agree.
Mike Tomlin.
I mean, it's rare though. It's rare to see that for sure.
You could give him like a 10. I don't know.
All right, okay. But here's what you have to consider.
It just doesn't work.
You have to consider that Mark Davis and John Gruden are very close.
By the way, Mark Davis has the worst hair in the history of the world. Go ahead.
Yes, if you're a multimillionaire and you have that type of haircut, like you can afford a much
better
haircut. I wouldn't
work for you for $100 million. Scott, I love you, but if you came to work tomorrow with that haircut, I would quit.
At least invest in a hat or a cap, right? Like a Raiders cap,
right?
Because
then it's all just coming out the side.
Well,
it's still like the bowl cut. You just get the bottom half of the bowl cut.
But the worst part is like
the bangs,
yeah. Right?
It's like he cuts his own hair with a Flobee, a bowl, and a pair of shears.
That's what it is. It's a Flobee cut.
Literally Dobie Gillis-like. And that's just not a good look on any man, even no matter how much money you have.
Mark Davis, John Gruden, very close. Al Davis and John were very close. John Davis revered Al Davis.
Al Davis.
The dad.
But then you said John Davis. Mark and Al mixed up there.
Okay. So
Trevor will probably go back and correct that, where it'll make it sound like I'm wrong.
Nah.
Okay, good.
No, we're going to continue on under the premise that I had it right to begin with.
Okay, but you did.
That John Gruden is friends with Mark Davis, whose dad, Al, John revered.
Yes.
Okay.
Paul Revere. Okay.
And the Raiders. Great band from the 60s.
That's right. Paul Revere and the Raiders. We're bringing this all the way around full circle.
It's coming back.
One if my land.
If you,
sorry. Different.
That's no, right. That's right.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you know that?
Do you not think I knew that?
No, I did not know that. You don't know anything about football prior to
2001. Or Revolutionary War history either.
Yeah.
You didn't even know. Yeah, you didn't know who George Washington was last week. Now all of a sudden
that's
you're.
That's not true.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know who Andrew Jackson was.
That's true.
He didn't know who Andrew Jackson
did not know who Andrew Jackson was.
Yeah. I'd show Trevor a $50 bill. And he's like, wow, that's Andrew Jackson. It's actually Ulysses S. Grant.
Yes.
Do you know who Ulysses S. Grant is?
A bastard. That's who he is. He was a northern general who burned Atlanta.
The guy who's on the $50 bill. That's my answer.
Yeah.
Survey says.
That would be incorrect, sir.
Wait.
He was a president. He was also the Union general who presided over the winning side of the Civil War.
They cheated.
Did they?
Yeah. They had more guys.
Okay. Back to the Raiders. The Silver and Black Raiders, they're moving that franchise to Las Vegas, and they have got to put a face there. There's got to be a draw there, not just for to put butts in the seats, but also for the corporate sponsorships for that franchise there. And so if you look at what Mark Davis did, this type of offer to John, should he accept it, is simply just an investment in that decision to move the franchise from Oakland to Las Vegas to draw people.
I guess.
I mean, I'm not saying I would do it, Trevor. Don't get me wrong.
No, I know. But I mean, it makes it, like, if you're, I don't know. If you're moving to a different city and you know you're about to piss off all of your diehard fans, then there's only one way to bring them back, and that's probably to bring, like, a beloved person.
I'm coming, and I'm bringing John Gruden with me.
I mean, unless you dig up Vince Lombardi, John Gruden is your guy.
Or trade for Bill
and
Belichick.
I really, really like John Gruden as a coach, so I'm a fan of this. I it's so hard
you
for me
like
to believe
John Gruden
that
as a coach because he gave you beer. Let's
well,
face
I mean,
it.
I,
he gave you beer and a Spider 2-Y Banana T-shirt.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I might have had the same thing.
Yeah, I got an 18 of Coors from John Gruden.
Jeez, I wish I wouldn't have taken that day off.
That was actually one of the best interviews I've ever had. Not just because we broke news, but
I've never walked
out of an interview with beer in a Spider 2-Y Banana T-shirt.
The funniest story about that was
national breaking news.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
The funniest thing about that was when you told me. When you and Trevor walked out, he just had the emoji, wide open eyes look on his face. And you're like, okay, so what did you take out of that?
What's the biggest
thing?
Trevor?
And Trevor just froze up and was like, I don't know that he's he gave me beer. I mean, he just couldn't come
in
up with
a T-shirt.
You know, not anything about I'm going to come back to coach
again.
That's
what I was going to write.
That was the big takeaway.
He gave me beer.
Yeah.
That was going to be the headline of the article.
Let me ask you a question. Have you drank all that beer?
Yes.
You should have saved it, and they got him to autograph it, and then sold them one by one on eBay.
I wanted to keep the box, but like the box
as a memento of the interview.
See, you know, like if I could get him to sign it.
Well, and
point,
listen. That's gone. Here's why we got the beer from John Gruden.
Okay? By the way, Garv is getting really mad. We're not talking football, but go ahead.
Well, too bad. Happy New Year. Gruden was giving us the tour of the FFCA, the Fired Football Coaches Association headquarters. In Tampa, and they actually
have just his office.
They've got it's more than an office, dude. He's got a shower, he's got a bathroom, he's got a bedroom there for when coaches come over and they can watch film. They can do an all nighter like a slumber party, watching old footage and stuff. And
you should have went in there and like just peed in his bathroom, like left the seat down, just been like a completely rude guest.
No, I didn't want to do that.
That's true. We want to go back.
He walked us through the kitchen, and there's all this beer there. There's like enough beer you could start an ABC liquor store, right? And he looks at me, he's like, Trevor, Scott, you drink beer? And I said, yeah. And I was thinking, oh, maybe John quit, maybe. Which is a stunner, because if you heard the story about him pissing on my shoe after having a couple of beers a couple podcasts ago, I was stunned. I was like, wow, has John quit drinking beer? And the answer to that is no. But the thing is every time a coach comes to the FFCA headquarters to watch film, they feel obligated to bring beer, like a house guest. Here's a bottle of wine.
Enablers.
Thanks for having us over for dinner. Or enablers, exactly. So John has got all this beer, and obviously he can't drink it all. And so he just was being friendly and said, here, take some beer.
You should never say I can't drink all the beer. That just breaks the man code.
I don't
code.
Think John could drink all the beer.
He had that much. So basically it was like a liquor store.
It's what I just said. It's like an ABC liquor store.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so we're not going to be too much longer. It's New Year's Eve, and we got to go party with John Gruden.
No, we're partying with Dirk Cutter.
Yes.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm probably not going to accept that invite, although I'm pretty sure the invite is not going to be extended to go party with John Gruden. Dirk Cutter anytime soon for the three of us, but or really anybody in the media for that matter. And anyway, we won't get into all that. Congratulations, Dirk Cutter. You're on the clock. And you got 12 months to do it, because a year from now, if this team is 5-11,
what's the
it doesn't
number?
Matter what injuries there I are, no doesn't idea. Matter about suspensions.
What's the number that Dirk has to hit?
Minimum.
Nine. I think nine minimum.
He's got to get back to 9 wins.
I think even after 9-7, you might look at it and be like, okay, well, now
is that the ceiling for where he can take this
we're
team?
Where we were 2 years ago.
I think the
with a less talented team. Yeah. I think he has to make the playoffs next year, right? I mean, that's got
to
be
would
it.
Think
I don't care
it
if it's 8-8, 9-7, 15-1. If he doesn't make the playoffs, I think he's gone.
This is year three of Dirk Cutter as the head coach, year four coming up with him as the play caller. And this is Jameis Winston's contract year coming up.
Yeah, and I say that
he's
going to
get a fifth-year option. But.
Well, I say that because if they make the playoffs, the offense will obviously be at least better. Like it's going to at least carry them in some capacity, because if there are changes to the staff, we likely think it's from the defensive side, right?
Right, I would agree.
So who knows how well the defense is going to – I think they're still going to have talent, but who knows how well that's going to be. There's only so many things that you could fix in free agency in the draft.
Right.
So if they're going to make the playoffs, I think that means that the offense is going to truly take a step forward next year, his stay worth it.
It's got to take a step forward in scoring and points, because again, they put up 455 yards tonight against a playoff team, right? And honestly, when you go back and look, the Buccaneers have put up over 400 yards in a lot of these close losses. Mm-hmm. It's not getting first downs and moving the ball that's the problem. It's down in the red zone. It's getting touchdowns.
With two starting offensive linemen, without DeSean Jackson, without O.J. Howard.
They can move the ball. It's getting points on the board. And you saw tonight, Mark, 31 points. 7 of that came on special teams, right? So, so that's 24 points. If this team can get from 20 points per game, which it was averaging this year, up to 24, that's a four-point swing. And you see how many times this team has lost by 3 points, right? They lost by 3 points.
This is
to the
an
8-8
football team minimum if they average 24 points a game this year.
No question.
So I don't think that it's got to be this huge cataclysmic jump. I mean, obviously, if they score 26, 27 points per game, that's great. And that certainly bodes well for this team going forward and for Dirk. But to have this offense, which was get the ball to Mike Evans and Cam Brate because there's no running game last year, and they scored 22 points per game. And then it regressed this year with all those weapons, Chris Godwin, DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard, mm-hmm. and Cam, and Mike, and Jameson year
and Alan
three.
Alan Cross, let's not forget
and
my
And Alan
son.
Cross, you know, and Leonard Wester.
Yes.
Okay? So when you add up all of those weapons for Winston that happened this year, it's damning that the scoring dropped from 22 points per game to just over 20 mm-hmm. points. So if they can get up to 24 points per game and do what they did tonight offensively, and we'll see what happens on the defensive side of the ball and special teams, it's going to bode well for Cutter and the Bucs next year.
Scott, I'm wondering on the John, let's go back to John Gruden to Oakland thing. What are the odds? And I wonder if there's somewhere that I could maybe even place a bet on that.
Well, you can go to mybookie.ag.
Oh, of course. Why didn't I think of that?
There you go. And I will say that I started off the bowl season hot. It was looking pretty damn good, I got to admit. I was on a roll.
This sounds like it's not going to go well, Trevor.
Yeah, in this week, my picks have sucked. Really
well, you
bad.
Shouldn't have picked Southern Miss to beat my Noles.
I didn't do that. I stayed away from that.
Did you pick the Gators to win?
I did pick Kansas State. Check out this victory tie I'm wearing
right
here.
Yes, that's
right?
Pretty sweet.
That's nice.
Goes with your 12 State. Pocket squares.
Yes. All of which, or most of which, are purple. And, yeah, I picked Kansas State to win, and they won. And I also bet Caleb Benenock, the right tackle for the Buccaneers.
Yes, you did.
UCLA product on the game. And, you know, he took a nice picture with me that we put up on Twitter, yeah, wearing my K-State hat and doing the Wildcat symbol. So that was fun. Thank you, Caleb. But you can have a lot of fun yourself. NFL playoffs are right around the corner. You can sign up tonight and get in on tomorrow's bowl game action on New Year's Day. So ring in the new year, mybookie.ag. If you mention the code word pewter, P-E-W-T-E-R, you can double your initial deposit. Throw them $100, they're going to give you $100 back. You got $200 to play with. Make it 500, boom, you have 1,000.
1 million?
Not that much.
Okay.
Not that much. But you can still have a lot of fun, win some money. So, hey, if you think you know who's going to win the game, bet the point spread, bet the over-under, bet the money line. A lot of ways that you can bet. You can bet quarters action. You can bet halftime. You can bet the entire game. NHL, NBA, college basketball, college football, NFL, baseball is around the corner. If you haven't signed up for mybookie.ag yet, what are you waiting for? Do it today. Mention Pewter for the promo code, and they'll double your initial deposit. They got the fastest payouts in the business.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. A couple things we need to say. First of all, thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our readers this year. We have set records in traffic with a 5-11 football team.
Yes.
Now, the Buccaneers may have underachieved. We have overachieved. But that's all a big thank you to all of our readers who continually come to pewterreport.com. We thank you very much for that. We also want to thank all of our great sponsors who keep the lights on, who keep our bills paid, who ensures that you and I and Trevor get a paycheck every 2 weeks. So we thank you very much. We hope that even if you're not in the area or even if you're not in the market for certain things, if you have an opportunity to thank these sponsors, let them know that you heard about them on pewterreport.com. That'll go a long way.
Click on their banner ads. And even if you're an out-of-state Buccaneer fan, when you come into town and you watch a Bucs game, drive up the street to a place like Just Grillin' mm-hmm. and grab some great spices and sauces and rubs.
Go have a beer at Ford's Garage.
Absolutely, and a great burger. You know, there's a lot of our sponsors that we'd love for you guys to patronize for you Florida folks, but for the people that are out of town, when you come in town, when you come in down to St. Petersburg, Clearwater for your summer vacation or spring break, you know, stop by our advertisers. All of them are Bucs fans, mm-hmm. you know, and they'd love to take care of you. They'd love to make you a client. A lot of these businesses also have online ordering, so you can visit right. their website. Even if you're not in town, you can still order stuff from Just Grillin'. You can't order a burger yet through the website for Ford's Garage, but maybe through Uber Eats.
However, if you'd like to call them and put your credit card on file, I will go eat a burger for you and drink a beer for you.
Yeah, if you want to sponsor a burger for Mark, yes. he will happily do that for you.
I will do that. I actually just ate at Ford's Garage last night.
You can sponsor a beer
again.
For me.
I will. We will do that. So thank you to all of our sponsors out there. And listen, if you work for a business or you own a business and you're interested in being partners with pewterreport.com, give us a shout, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up via email, and we'd love to talk to you. You know, we can definitely get eyes on your business. We've got the analytics and the data to prove it for sure.
Let our strong website traffic work for you and get people from pewterreport.com to your website.
And make no mistake, people who are like, well, you know, how are you going to sell ads, or how or why are people going to come to your website when this team is 5-11? Let me tell you something. Bucks fans are loyal as they come. They're angry. They're frustrated. They're annoying at times.
And hope springs eternal in the offseason.
And with
top 10 draft
pick, free agency, with the draft, I was just looking at our numbers, watching the spikes. Our numbers sometimes are better in the offseason than they are actually during the season. So take advantage of that web traffic. Get in touch with Scott or myself.
We're going to be at the East-West Shrine Bowl practices in just a couple weeks here in St. Petersburg. We're going to be at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama at the end of January.
Pro Bowl, maybe?
Yeah, Pro Bowl. You're going to be covering that. Trevor, you're going to be going to the Combine again.
Indeed.
So we're going to have your off-season covered here at
NFL owners meetings.
NFL owners meetings, exactly. So we'll do that as well.
We'll definitely take care of that. So anyway, we appreciate everybody, but most importantly, we appreciate our readers who come back to our website numerous times a day and help us out. We appreciate that. Guys, it's been one fun, long, exhausting, frustrating, hair-pulling-out year. It's officially over. We'll be able to take a few vacations ourselves. But anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening to this podcast and helping it grow. And let's grow this thing even more during the offseason. Great job this year, Trevor. You've had a hell of a rookie year.
Appreciate it.
You're not quite Chris Godwin, but I'll say you're a Kendall Beckwith on this team.
All right, I'll take it.
All right. Scott, you're Jason Light. I mean, you're the leader.
Thanks.
You're the leader.
Thanks, guys.
You know what I mean?
And, really appreciate
and I'm
that.
Gerald McCoy, very underappreciated.
Yes, with a flair for style and fashion.
Yeah, and I have red hair. So or that would be Quan Alexander at this point. But anyway, we appreciate everybody listening. We will be out of here. We will work on more podcasts throughout the off season. Don't know quite what our schedule is, but we will have more podcasts for you, so stay tuned to that. You can subscribe on all the major podcast platforms, including iTunes. All you have to do is look at your phone, and every time we have a new one, it'll be downloaded and ready for your listening pleasure. For Scott Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema, I'm Mark Cook, saying so long. We will see you next time on another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.